The Science of Zoom Fatigue. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. First, Senate Democrats reportedly plan to drop a backup plan that would have raised the minimum wage as part of the COVID relief bill. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joins us from Washington. Nancy, what was this fallback plan?
David, it was Democrats' plan B for raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. The Senate parliamentarian said last week that a straight-out wage hike wouldn't comply with guidelines the Democrats have to follow in order to fast-track the legislation. That prompted some Senate Democrats to come up with this plan B to raise the minimum wage through tax penalties and incentives. But now it looks like they won't go through with this plan because it would be hard to implement and enforce. And David, this was first reported by the Washington Post.
So what happens now?
The House passed the COVID relief bill over the weekend and sent it to the Senate. The House version does include a provision raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. The Senate is expected to vote on it this week, and it's now unclear whether the final bill will include that minimum wage hike.
And as they say, time is of the essence?
Absolutely. Democrats want to pass the relief bill and get it signed into law in the next few weeks. And that's because the legislation includes an extension of a weekly federal unemployment benefit. Right now, that benefit is set to expire in mid-March.
Nancy Marshall Genzer, thank you. At the Conservative Political Action Conference in Orlando over the weekend, former President Trump was clear he will not start a new political party to make an end run around the grand old party. He dropped strong hints, though, that he might like to run for president again. There was some interest also in Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, and the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem. And Trump is still very good at raising money. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has that.
Former President Trump never stopped raising money. First, he pulled in cash from donors to fight his election loss, and since then,
Trump launched a leadership PAC that raised over $30 million in just a matter of months.
Carl Evers Hillstrom monitors money in politics for OpenSecrets.org, and he says politicians and groups who align themselves with Trump are benefiting as well.
The Republican Party is increasingly reliant on Trump to actually raise money. So we've seen some like corporate interests are not as interested in donating to them after the Capitol riot.
Trump's supporters, on the other hand, still seem game to donate to the president and his allies. There were even rumors after the election he might start a third political party.
And what he's done is actually a lot more interesting.
Jennifer Heerwig is a political sociologist at SUNY Stony Brook.
He said, okay, I have this kind of asset, which is my fundraising prowess and my donor list and the ability to connect with people who maybe ordinarily wouldn't donate. And so I'm going to use that and turn it into a formal organization that the GOP has to pay attention to.
And the Republican Party is.
We know that President Trump is still someone who is wildly popular and someone who was and is an effective fundraiser.
Paris Denard is a spokesperson for the Republican National Committee.
We are optimistic that he will continue to be the type of former president that engages and wants to help the RNC fundraise.
Denard says Trump has agreed to attend an RNC donors event this spring in Florida, where Republican leaders will be encouraging donors and the former president to support their efforts heading into the midterm elections. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
After all the articles this weekend that prospects for economic recovery are driving up interest rates, sapping the life out of the competing stock market, stock index futures this morning are conversely up this morning. The NASDAQ future up 1.3%, the Dow future up 0.9%, the S&P future up 1%. This afternoon, the Zoom company reports quarterly sales and profits. Zooms day in, day out during pandemic, like posing for a yearbook photo for an hour at a time, five times a day. Gentle fake smile glued to your face, feigning interest with ears cocked like a Doberman pincher who thinks he hears the mailman. Well, it's not just you. There is fresh, peer-reviewed research out of Stanford that Zoom fatigue is a real thing. From our Workplace Culture Desk, here's Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino.
After spending hours a day at a virtual conference recently, Chicago biologist Becca Weinberg is done with video meetings.
I never feel energized on Zoom, but what it does feel is more depleting.
She says it makes social interactions awkward, and she's too self-aware. Jeremy Balinson with Stanford's Virtual Human Interaction Lab says there's a reason for that.
It's like being in an elevator where everyone in that elevator stopped and looked right at us for the entire elevator ride at close up.
He says the default display on many programs makes faces appear closer than we're used to, with unavoidable sustained eye contact that can be unnerving, not to mention being constantly confronted with our own faces.
When you look at yourself, you evaluate yourself, and evaluating yourself for 8 hours a day is not good.
He says turning off self-view and shrinking down the video window can make interactions feel more natural, less emotionally taxing. And he reminds people that just because they can use video doesn't mean they have to. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
I may start showing up for our Zooms behind a V for Vendetta mask, or maybe the one from Scream, to see if it makes me feel any better. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.